Krish. My sincere gratitude to the assembled devotees for your kind attendance and participation at our temple of Sri Radha Gopinathji. Today, Sri Gopal is giving a breathtaking darshan for the pleasure and purification of all the universe. Today being Vijay Dasami or Dasera is a very special meditation as well as celebration. The great sages have established these festivals according to historical pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. These festivals are like worshipable deities on the altar of our calendar. Calendar warns us of death because time passes imperceptibly. It's very difficult to see day by day how time is affecting our lives. After years, we see changes. We see we're growing, or we're wrinkling, we're aging gradually. In a very invisible way, time consumes us. And symptoms come, but not immediately. It is all happening gradually. But with the calendar, we could actually see that the days of our lives are lessening. You will never see another October 5th, 2003 for the rest of your life. It is gone forever. And soon we see the days pass and we have to tear off the month and throw it away. Finished forever. And a new month. And then somebody sends you a new calendar and you throw away the whole year of the past. How many calendars have we thrown away in our life? That's how old we are. So time is passing. But within that calendar, which is like the altar of time, Krishna says, time I am. Yes? Time is Krishna. So the calendar is like the altar of Krishna in his deity of time. But within that altar, Krishna is so kind, he gives special darshans, where he actually appears in certain ways on certain days. And those are the holidays. I'm not speaking about Independence Day or Republic Day. I'm speaking about Janamashtami, Radhashtami, Govardhan Puja, Sarat Purnima, Dasera, Ram Navami, Gaur Purnima, Varaha Dwadasi, and so many appearance days and disappearance days of great acharyas. These days are worshipable because on these days the Lord is actually making himself specially available. They are opportunities where we really put our hectic lives aside and focus on the significance of the deity of that day, Krishna, his pastimes, his devotees. Rupa Goswami explains in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita, which is the guide, the practical guide of how to purify your life on the path of pure devotional service, that it is very important, whether in the temple or in your own home, to celebrate these special festival days. Because the Lord has manifested them out of his causeless mercy for us. And in doing, he's giving us the opportunity to remember him, to contemplate his mercy when he descends into this world. And especially to hear his glories in the association of devotees and to chant his holy names. Today, Vijayadashami is historical and symbolic simultaneously. Historical in it is actually on this day that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had descended as the son of Dasarath and Kausalya in Ayodhya, Sri Ramchandra, fulfilled a very essential purpose of his incarnation. He liberated the world and the universe from the dreadful cruelty of Ravana. Ravan was such a demon that the Yajna of Dasarath Maharaj in Ayodhya, performed by Rishi Singha, the devatas, the chiefs of the demigods, they actually appeared at that sacrifice and begged Lord Vishnu, who had appeared, begged him, do something about this Ravan. He's terrorizing the universe. He's creating fear and havoc in everyone. Now we have some realization of the fear of terrorism. It's felt in many, many places throughout the world, where you do not know your safety, your stability, your security, or yourself, your loved ones, your business, your home, from one moment to the next. Ravana and his Rakshasa dynasty were not only terrorizing the earth, they were based at Sri Lanka, but they were terrorizing the universe. But they didn't have to hide. They weren't these cowardly, nonsense terrorists who just leave a bomb and run away or blow themselves up and become a ghost. He was right there with his people, roaring, fire blazing from his mouth, killing, slaughtering, raping, plundering, conquering. That was Ravana. And nothing could stop him. Even Indra trembled in fear. at the sight of Ravana's son, what to speak of him? You remember when Vishwamitra Muni came to Ayodhya to ask Dasarath Maharaj for the charity of his son. And Dasarath Maharaj said, "No, I will not give. I cannot give." Vishwamitra Muni said, "You already said you would give me what I asked. You cannot change your mind. I am Brahman." "You are Brahman, but Ram is my life. He's my soul. He's my everything. I'll give you anything else. Why?" He said, "There's miscreants who are spoiling our yajnas in the forest. Siddhapur, I want your son to kill them." Dasarath said, "I'll come personally with all the armies. All the armies of the Raghu dynasty. But leave my Ram home." Vishwamitra Muni said, "You and all your armies are of no use to me." "Why? Who are these Rakshasas?" He said, "They are the party of Ravan." When Dasarath heard the name Ravan, he trembled in fear. He knew himself. He's Dasarath. He can fight 5 Maharathis, 5 charioteers at the same time. Even in 10, from 10 directions. Such a great warrior. But before Ravana, he knew that he and his entire army was of no value. It was no match. So ultimately he gave Ram. This was the power of this person. He was, if there was such a thing amongst the demigods, he was the most wanted person on the list of criminals. They would give very big rewards for anyone who could give some information of how to defeat him, how to get rid of him. But he was unconquerable. Would you like to hear something about Ravana? I was afraid you would be enthusiastic about this. Long ago, in Krita Yuga, there was the great sage Pulastya Muni, who was directly born of Lord Brahma, endowed with all saintly qualities. He was pious, virtuous, very highly realized in the absolute truth, endowed with supernatural powers. He wanted to find a very beautiful, quiet place to meditate. So he went to Mount Meru. At the time, a very great sage named Trinabindu had his hermitage on Mount Meru. He was performing tapasya there. Pulastya Muni found a nice quiet place. Meanwhile, so many apsaras, gandharvas, and other such happy people, they were very fond of going on holiday to Mount Meru. So they were playing and innocent, making all noise and laughing. And this was disturbing Pulastya Muni's tapasya. So he proclaimed that if my eyes cast on anybody, they're going to be in for a very, very terrible surprise. So everybody got out of there. But the great sage Trinabindu, he had a daughter. And she was a very beautiful, innocent young girl, young lady. She just didn't hear about the words of Pulastyamuni. So she was just looking for her friends, going through the forest. And she came upon Pulastyamuni, who was absorbed in performing yajna. And he cast his glance on her. She bowed down to him. She saw he's a great rishi. And suddenly she felt like she was pregnant with a child. She was culture shock. She didn't know what was happening. She was utterly disoriented. She just turned pale white. She started to cry. And she ran home to her father and said, I don't know what happened. Look at me. Something changed. Trinabindu said, you look completely different. What happened to you? She said, I don't know. So he went into meditation and could understand through his meditation it was Pulastyamuni. So he said, my daughter, come with me. And presented his daughter in marriage to Pulastyamuni. And that was accepted. So from Pulastyamuni and the daughter of the great Rishi Trinabindu, a very virtuous son was born. His name was Vishrava. With the blessings of his father, Pulastyamuni, he performed very great tapasya. He was very pious, very gentle, very highly realized in the absolute truth. Bhardwaj Muni had a beautiful daughter named Devavarini. He proposed for his daughter to marry Vishrava. He accepted. Many great sages were grihasthas. The wife just accepted living in the forest with their husbands, and they all performed tapasya and very chaste and faithfully assisted them. They had a son. His name was Vaishravana. Vaishravana was a very, very pious man, born of very, very high parentage. On the inspiration of his father, he performed many, many thousands of years of tapasya. And Lord Brahma appeared to him and offered him boon. I want the boon of being an associate of the demigods and a protector of the worlds. Brahma said, so be it. I will give you the benediction that you will be the treasurer of all of the demigods, the heavenly planets. You will be on the same level as Indra, Yama, and Surya. You will be one of the great of the gods. And I also give you the benediction of an airplane called Pushpaka, which can take you anywhere in the universe in great opulence and happiness. Then Lord Brahma returned to his abode. So Vaishravana now had all these nice benedictions. He had become Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavens. But he told his father, I have everything except a place to live. Where should I live? So Vishrava told him, I know a very nice place. It's called Sri Lanka. I'll tell you the history of this place briefly. Long ago, at the beginning of the world, Rakshasas were born of Lord Brahma. They were very powerful. With the help of Vishwakarma, they built the kingdom of Sri Lanka as their capital. However, at one time in history, those Rakshasas who were based in Sri Lanka became so powerful that they threatened the demigods. The demigods called for Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu appeared. And when he started fighting against them, they all decided the only hope is to run away. So they deserted Sri Lanka and took shelter of the nether worlds, the lower planetary systems. There, they were more or less hiding, regrouping, performing more tapasyas, trying to strike again. So from that time, Sri Lanka, which was a city made out of gold, so beautifully constructed by Vishwakarma, was abandoned. Vishwa told Kubera, make that your home. So he did. Meanwhile, one of the leaders of those Rakshasas, he wanted to come again to conquer the higher planets. Actually, there were many such demons. One of them, in fact, was somewhat pious, although he was still a leader of the Rakshasas. His name was Sumali. Sumali came up to the earth just to see what's happening. And he happened to see, flying overhead, the Pushpaka with Vaishravana or Kuvera riding on it. He's thinking, this man is so beautiful. He's so powerful. He has such opulences. If we want our Rakshasa dynasty to continue, we need really good quality leaders. We need people like that. But the problem is he's a demigod. So he did his meditation and his research and he found out who was his father, Vishrava. So Sumali brought his daughter, Kaikashi. And told her that you, who are so beautiful in all of your limbs, you should marry Vishrava and have children with him. That will give longevity and dignity to the Rakshasa dynasty. So Vishrava was performing a yajna, fire yajna, in the forest. And Kaikeshi approached him. She was looking at the ground. Actually, she was looking at her own feet with tears in her eyes. And her toes were drawing lines in the sand. Vishrava asked, who are you and what do you want? You are a very beautiful lady. You're in the middle of the forest, all alone. What can I do for you? So she revealed her heart. She said, I wish to marry you and have children from you. He said, I will grant your request, However, you made a big mistake. You asked me this question at a very inauspicious time. Especially in those days of yore, timings were very significant. He said, because you asked this question to have children for me at an inauspicious time, you will have children, but they will be the embodiments of inauspiciousness. They will be cruel, envious, lustful, proud, and they will cause grief and suffering wherever they go. Kaikashi was very, very hurt by this. She wanted nice children. This is not what Sumali wanted, that she has these kind of children. She wanted nice children like Kuvera. So with folded hands and tears in her eyes, said, I'm sorry I didn't take note of what time it was when I asked you this question. But please, I want nice children. It is not befitting you to have cruel, envious people who cause suffering to others as your children. You're a great Brahmin. He said, because you have repented in this way with prayer. He said, what your destiny is, I cannot change, but I can give you a benediction. Your youngest son will be the embodiment of all piety and devotion. Whoever even hears his name will become purified. So Kaikashi, daughter of Sumali and wife of Vishrava, had her firstborn son. That little baby came out of the womb. By medical calculations, he had many birth defects. He had 10 heads, 20 arms, 100 fingers, and 20 eyes, and all of his eyes were red, just glaring red with anger. When he first came out of the womb, he didn't cry. He roared like thunder. At the moment of his birth, destructive, intolerable flames were pouring out of his 10 mouths. He had coppery lips. He had hair that looked like it was on fire. And he had such cruelty and hate written all over him. Here was Vishrava's son, not like Kuvera. He named him Dasagriva. Then came the second son. He was also he had some birth defects. He came out of the womb, and within seconds, he just grew to enormous proportions. He was an infant who can eat 20 elephants at a time. His name was Kumbhakarna. Then came the next child. It was a female child. But don't let the gender mislead you. She was so ugly and terrible, howling in anger. Her name was given Supanika. And then there was the fourth child. When Ravana was born, Dasagriva, as soon as he came out of the womb, there were such inauspicious signs. Dark clouds started showering blood in place of rain. Man-eating carnivorous animals started howling and circumambulating Dasagriva and his mother. Parikrama. Meteors, just one after another, were just falling from the sky right onto the earth. There was shrieking and horror everywhere. The entire earth, just by the appearance of Ravana in the world, all the oceans and seas in the world just became tumultuous and turmoil. Gigantic whirlwind. What is it called? Whirlpools. Flooding all directions. In this way, Ravana was born. When Vibhishan was born, flowers fell from the heavens and the demigods played kettle drums. They don't sound like djembes either. They're very sweet. I like djembes when they're played sweetly. But kettle drums, flowers flowering. So, one day, Kaikashi, who was with Vishrava, her husband, was visited by Vaisharavana, the treasurer of the Devatas. And he had his Pushpaka. He was living in Sri Lanka. He was so happy to see his father. But sometimes co-wives are not always without competition. So Kaikashi was thinking, look at the opulence, the royalty that my co-wife, Devavarani, she has for her son. And my sons, they don't have anything. So she said to her son, Ravana, Dasagriva, that you should also be like your cousin brother, and you should have all of this. Half-brother. So he went to his father, Sumali. His grandfather. And he said, actually, Sri Lanka is Rakshasa territory. It has been usurped by the demigods. Perform tapasya and get it back. So he and his brothers and sisters went to Mount Meru. Actually, no, they went to Gokarna. They went to Gokarna to perform tapasya. And what kind of tapasyas they did. Thousands of years. This is long ago. When life was long. Kumbhakarna, during the summer, he just stood on one leg in the heat of the sun with four raging fires in the four sides of besides him. That's how he spent his summers. In the rainy season, he just stood in the rain. In fact, he went into a lake of water and stood there and was just soaked for 4 months without eating. And in the winter, he went to high peaks of Himalayas and he just went into ice water and stood there in meditation. Severe austerity. Vibhishan also did very, very serious austerities. He stood on one leg for thousands of years, just immersed in prayer to Lord Vishnu. And Suparnaka, she was doing her tapasyas. But this Dasagriva, he did the most terrible austerities. He fasted. Complete fast. No food, no water, nothing. And every 1,000 years, he would cut off his head and offer it into a fire to Lord Brahma. After 9,000 years, he only had one head left. At the beginning of the 10,000th year of fasting and standing in one place, he was about to cut off his last head and offer it to Brahma. And Brahma couldn't tolerate this any longer. It was just too much austerity. He had to come and fulfill his desires. Yes, what do you want? I am pleased with your austerities. What is your desires? He said, I want to be immortal, immune from death. Brahma said, I cannot give you that because even I do not have that. So he said he didn't want, he wanted immunity from death from Rakshasas, death from the demigods, death from the Kinaras, death from the Gandharvas, death from practically anybody. But he said, but don't give me any benedictions against human beings because they're insignificant. That would be an insult to me. So Brahma gave him the benediction. He also gave him the benediction that he gave him all his heads back. And that whoever cuts off your heads or arms, they will immediately grow back. And you will be unconquerable and undefeated. You will conquer over everywhere you like. With your 10 heads, wherever you can see, you will have control of that. That is the benediction I give. So he was very happy. He had Brahma's powers. Then Brahma turned to Kumbhakarna. What benediction would you like? At that point, the demigods approached Brahma privately. Said, conference, conference. This man, this monster, he's already devouring the universe. He's devouring the demigods. He's devouring everything in sight. He's indestructible. He's all-consuming without any benedictions. He's terrorizing everyone just by his existence. If you give him anything else, the universe is finished. So Lord Brahma, in his mind, called for Saraswati Devi, the goddess of speech. And Saraswati Devi secretly entered into Kumbhakarna's mouth to control his speech. Brahma turned then to Kumbhakarna and said, yes, whatever benediction you ask will be granted. What would you like? Oh, he had so many ideas. He opened his mouth and Saraswati spoke through his mouth. I want to go to sleep. Brahma immediately said, so be it. And got on his swan and left. Very fast benediction. And then Saraswati left his mouth. And as soon as she left his mouth, he became normal again. He was completely confused. What did I just do? 10,000 years of severe tapasya. and I asked to go to sleep. How did that happen? The demigods must have deceived me somehow or other. He was angry. Brahma asked Vibhishan, "What benediction would you like?" Vibhishan said, "The only boon I ask for, Lord Brahma, is that whatever I do in my life will be pleasing to Lord Vishnu. And that whatever comes into my life, good times or bad times, even crises or emergencies, whatever comes upon me, please give me the benediction that I will never, ever forget the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu." That whatever temptations, whatever challenges come before me, give me the benediction that I will always maintain my virtue, my morality, my piety, my integrity, and my compassion toward others. Lord Brahma gave him the fulfillment of all of his desires. So when Ravana, who by then, from Gokarna, where he just developed massive armies of Rakshasas, they were his loyal, obedient servants. And along with his brothers, he also had other brothers, Kara and Dara. There was Prahasta, very powerful personality. Prahasta was like an uncle to him. They attacked Sri Lanka. When the forces of Ravana were at the gates of Sri Lanka, Vaishravana, Kuvera, he didn't know what to do. He went to his father, Vishrava, and said, My half-brother, you know, your son, he's come to my kingdom to conquer me." Vishrava said, "There's nothing I can do. I have no control over this person. He's cruel, he's demoniac, he has the boons of Brahma, he's powerful. All I can tell you to do is just get out of there. You have no chance against him." So Kuvera deserted the city with all of his ministers, his family members, his loved ones, and they went to Mount Kailash near the Mandakini Ganga. And there they made their residence and kingdom. Then the beautiful golden city of Sri Lanka, along with the beautiful carrier Pushpaka, was the property of Ravana. He and his brothers and sisters, they all were married. Ravana's principal wife was Mandodari, very, very beautiful lady. Very chaste, very faithful, very virtuous. Somehow or other, she married Ravana. But still, she was dedicated to virtue. So now we will begin the story. Ravana had everything. He had more gold than anybody has ever possessed. A whole city with gigantic quantities of gold. And he was conquering all directions. He was so aggressive. He was actually, Prabhupada explained, building a staircase to heaven. Because he knew he couldn't get there by pious activities. So he would get there by his own means. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says when the people are trying to go to the moon and higher planets and rocket ships. He says, whatever they go to, they are not going to enter into the heavenly atmosphere because you can't get there by rockets or stairs. It's only by pious activities that you can actually enter into the atmosphere of these higher planets. Otherwise, you just see something else or some external. But to actually enter into the real divine kingdom of the celestial worlds, it's only possible when we are qualified. So he was very aggressive. He became such a tyrant, so powerful. He was conquering all directions. Anything he wanted was his. Can you imagine such a cursed life? Anything you want, you can get. Must be boring. Yes? People who are so rich and so powerful and have so much, life's pretty boring because anything they want, they just make a phone call and it comes. Anywhere they want to go, anything they want, it's there. For a simple person, you know, he wants, it's hard to get. If he does get it, oh, it's such a treasure. So nice, take care of it. It took me years to get this car to drive the devotees to the temple. So it has value. But if everything just comes, what has value? And even friends sometimes, you don't really know who likes you and who likes your money and your power and your influence. Very difficult. As they say, it's lonely on the top. So that was Ravana. He had anything and everything he wanted. With a brother like Kumbhakarna, what can't you get? But he had no peace. He not only had one beautiful wife, he had apsaras massaging his feet. Haribo. He had the most beautiful heavenly damsels. He just commanded them and they obeyed. And he had faithful children headed by Indrajit. Now, fathers take pride in their eldest son. Indrajit defeated Indra. Now, from Ravana's calculation, this is pride. Not winning a cricket match or something. If you're a son of Ravana, you go out and defeat Indra. Then I'll be proud of you. He did it. He had scars to show it. Very powerful. So we know how Ram Chandra was exiled by Kaikeyi, his mother, from Ayodhya to Chitrakoot, where they live very happily, peacefully. No demons in Chitrakoot, only rishis and sages. Mandakini Ganga, Kamagiri, so nice, so beautiful. But that was not his mission. His mission was to rid the world of the miscreants. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami juge juge. The Lord appears to protect his devotees, remove the miscreants, and reestablish the religious principles. So he entered into the Dandakaranya forest. There he met the demon Viradha and so many other very, very powerful beings. Ultimately, he came to Panchavati. In Panchavati outskirts, he went to the ashram of Angira Muni. Angira Muni was such a great Brahmin, but he was such a great, powerful sage. Such a noble devotee of the Lord. Lord Ramchandra actually sat at his feet, served him, and took lessons from him. Even asked benedictions from him. For Agastya Muni, giving benedictions to Ram is like taking water from the Ganga and offering it back to Ganga. He is the origin of everything that exists. He gave him many benedictions. And he warned him about the dangers that were ahead. He gave him a special arrow. An arrow like no other in the entire creation. This was an arrow that Lord Brahma personally constructed and designed to give to Indra to conquer the universe. The most powerful weapon in creation. He gave that. It was in the care of Agastya Muni. He presented that to Ram and said, "You don't need anything, actually. But in your pastime Leela, you are appearing like a human being, taking help from others. This arrow will be with you at the greatest time of need. And with this arrow, I'm going to give you a mantra. It is called Aditya Hridai. It will empower this weapon with such supernatural, godly force that nothing and no one could possibly withstand it. The power of all the gods is within this mantra. The power of Brahma, the power of Vishnu is in this mantra." After receiving the blessings of Agastya Muni, Ram Sita Lakshman met with Jatayu, who was an old, old family friend of King Dasarath. And how Jatayu, who was actually in his old age, very old age, he was living alone in the forest. He was the king of that part of the forest. He offered his whole kingdom, his everything, to Ram. But Ram said, "I'm not allowed to live in any kingdom. That is the exile agreement." Jatayu offered his life in the service of Ram. He offered to give his very life in any way to serve Sita and Ram. And by the sincerity of his heart, he melted Sri Ramchandra's heart as Lord Ram entered into Panchavati. There at the place where today it is called Kalaram Mandir, Lakshman built a nice hut out of branches and leaves as the residence for Sita and Ram. Lakshman stood outside all night long guarding. So we know the story of how in the Tapovan area, Tapovan is a beautiful place, there is a mountain called Brahmagiri where the Godavari River originates. It flows down into the Tapovan, and there is a confluence of the Kapila River and the Godavari River. Every 12 years there is a Kumbh Mela in that place, Brahmakund and the Sangam. So it is there that Suparnaka, she was a gigantic, ugly demoness. She was the sister of Ravana and Kumbhakarna. She had the same wicked heart in a female form. Who would like to marry her? A female Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Well, somehow or other, she thought Ram did. And that presented a serious problem. She proposed to Ram, "You marry me." She fell passionately in love with him. Now, the perfection of life is to love Ram, but her love was not pure. It was a different, it was lust. She proclaimed, Rama gave Ravana also the benediction that he could change into any form he liked. And Suparnaka also had this power. But she was so agitated by Ram, she thought she made herself look like a beautiful woman, but actually she forgot. So she approached him. She proposed. And Ram, very respectfully, exclaimed that I have taken the vow of only one wife. And here is my wife, Sita. But my brother, Lakshman, he's roaming for the forest and he's all alone, see? He has no companion. So he will be a suitable match for you. So she turned to Lakshman. And Lakshman said, "You don't want to marry me. I'm just a servant of Ram. If you marry me, then you'll have to be the maidservant of Sita. And you're such a qualified person. I don't think that will match your nature." So then she turned back. You should marry Ram. So she turned again to Ram. And then she saw the only impediment in her mind between Ram and her was Sita. Now, you judge beauty according to your particular consciousness. So she was extolling her beauty to Ram. "Look at Sita, so skinny. Look at her skinny little arms and look at my mountainous arms. Look at her emaciated waist and look at my waist, which is like a massive war drum." What joy can she give you? You marry me, reject her, and together we will roam through the forest in all romance, terrorizing anyone we see. That's Rakshasa's idea of romance. We go out together and terrorize. So when she saw that Ram was firm in his chastity and faithfulness to Sita, it was really not at all a test. This is his eternal consort. "If it is she that is in my way, then I will immediately devour her." And she actually lunged to devour Sita. Ram turned to Lakshman, said, "Punish this wicked woman." Thus, the name Nasik was established. The nose was cut, the ears were cut, and Suparnaka, because after all, however much of a Rakshasi she is, she's a lady. She's a female. She's proud of her nose. with her nose, she just chopped off her pride. It was very painful, and to the ego especially. So she just started screaming. I'm not going to try to imitate that one. She ran out. And she went to her Kara and Dushan, her brothers, very powerful Maharati, Rakshasa warriors. They were stationed with 14,000 Rakshasas in a dynasty, an army. She said, "Look what you, this, I am your sister, you are my brother, this is the dignity of Ravana's name, our king. Go and kill them, punish them, avenge them, you must." So they attacked. Ram told Lakshman, when he saw 14,000 powerfully trained Rakshasas coming toward him with the latest missiles and modern weapons, and they all had mystic powers, any one of those Rakshasas could probably kill an entire army of the world today, and here were 14,000 of them. Ram told Lakshman, "I can take care of this myself. You go protect Sita." So there is Sitakuf, which is an underground cave just near the five trees of Panchavati, banyan trees. And in there, Lakshman had hid Sita, and he stood outside of the opening of the cave with his bow and arrow to protect. Meanwhile, Sri Ramchandra, very swiftly, within a matter of an hour or so, destroyed all the 14,000 Rakshasas, including Dara, his brother, Dushan, Kara and Dushan. When Sarpanika saw that, she became ever more envious, angry and vengeful. Screaming, she entered into Sri Lanka, screaming. Ravana was sitting on his throne, besides his ministers, his brothers, his son Indrajit. When she came in, he was horrified to see what happened. "Whoever has done this to you, is the noose of death is around his neck. Tell me who." And she explained. She knew her brother very thoroughly. Although he was very, very powerful, he was weak to lust, kama. Real strength is detachment. However physically or mentally powerful you are, attachments can cripple you and bring you down. Now we have seen, out of courtesy, we're not going to mention names, but we have seen some of the most powerful names in history just become defamed, just lose their whole image because they can't control their lust. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. This all, it is lust only, Krishna says, that is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. And what is lust? Kama. It's the desire to enjoy separate from God. And it culminates in the pleasure of sex. So Ravana had this deep, deep seated lust. And Sarpanika is a lady, so she knows. I wouldn't say a lady, but a woman. So she said to Ravana that there is a lady named Sita, the most beautiful female in all of creation. She started to describe every beautiful limb of Sita's body with such detailed, poetic description. Just hearing this description, Ravana's mind was going mad with lust. And because he's a man who gets anything he wants, he had to have her. And then Suparnaka said, I wanted to bring her back to you. She's married to this mortal, human, little Ram. What is the use? I tried to take her for you to enjoy. But then Ram and Lakshman have done this to me in my service to you. Hare Krishna. Highest service to fulfill his lusty desires. So, Ravana was absolutely determined to avenge Ram for the offense to his sister and to marry Sita. But there was a problem. Ravana was cursed that if he ever tried to enjoy a woman against her consent, he would die. Hare Krishna. So he had to be careful. So he went to Maricha. And I'm going to start going fast forward, which I'm already doing, actually. He went to Maricha and told him a plan. And Maricha said, no. No way, Ravana. I know you're my king. But look at me. I'm living in the forest as a hermit. Do you know why? Because of my fear of Ram. It was myself and Subahu who went to disturb Vishwamitra Muni. That young boy, Ram, he was only, about 16 at the time? With one arrow, he killed my partner, Subahu, and with another arrow, he shot me in the chest, and 800 miles I flew into the ocean. Another time, myself and another Rakshasa attacked him in the form of stags, and he conquered us. He was killed, my partner, and I had to run for my life. And ever since then, my whole life is fear of Ram. Wherever I look, I see Ram. I see a cloud. I see Ram coming from behind the cloud to get me. I see a tree, and there is Ram coming from behind the tree. I look at the river, and Ram is coming out of the river. I look at the ground, and he's coming out of the ground. Out of fear of Ram, I have taken to the life of a hermit, hiding in the forest. Ravana, Ram is all-powerful. Stay in Sri Lanka. You have so many nice ladies. You have so much wealth. You have a loyal kingdom. Just be happy and stay away from Ram. If you do not, you and your entire dynasty will be vanquished by him. So Ravana took his advice very seriously and went back. But Suparnaka, she wouldn't accept this. She called him a great coward. And others also were coming forward and challenging Ravana. Why are you afraid? So he went back to Maricha. Essentially, he told him, either you die at Ram's hands or my hands. Out of etiquette, I cannot die at the hands of my own king, better the enemy. But I will die, and so will you. So he took the form of that beautiful deer and allured Ram into the forest on Sita's consent and Sita's desire. And ultimately, Lakshman was sent by Sita to help him through her very persuasive words. And when they were both a long distance away, Ravana appeared. by the powers of Brahma's benediction, he appeared as a very peaceful-looking sadhu. In Nasik today, there is Sita Harana. It's a very special temple. It's the only temple I have ever seen where Sita's all alone. There's no Ram, no Lakshman, only Sita. And there's another deity across the courtyard. He's a sage. He has a beard. And he has some kind of deer skin or something, if I remember. And he has Rudraksha beads around his neck. And he has a begging pot. He looks like a sadhu. But that's Ravana. Hare Krishna. In disguise. Because he knew Sita's weakness to serve the great rishis, to serve the devotees. So he feigned very hungry and asked for some food. But there was the Lakshman Rekha. He couldn't get through there. Lakshman drew the line which protected Sita. But he said, I can't. She said, come in, I'll give you. He said, I can't. I'm too tired. I'm too hungry. You have to come this side. And out of her soft heart, she crossed the line to give him some fruits. And immediately, he manifested his Ravana Rupa, his form of Ravan, and proclaimed his true identity. He said, you will be my wife. And she tried to get away, but he kidnapped her. Of course, according to the Kurma Purana and the other great spiritual authorities, this was the Maya Sita. Ram, knowing that all these things would happen, he actually put the real Sita under the care of Agnidev through Parvati. And Maya Sita, an expansion of Sita, appeared to perform this lila of being kidnapped by Ravana. He had a chariot drawn by asses. They were flying through the sky very fast. And they flew over the head of Jatayu. And he heard, Ram, Ram, save me, Ram. Jatayu could not tolerate this. He was old. He really had no strength or power to fight. But he challenged Ravana. Sita, when she saw Jatayu, she said, Jatayu, don't fight. You can't win against Ravana. He's young, he's strong, he's power. You're old. You can't. You'll die. Just tell Ram where I am. But Jatayu could not stand by seeing this injustice being performed to his Lord. He knew he would die, but for a higher cause he was willing to give his life than to stand by and live. It's higher to die for your ideal than to live in negligence of your ideal. That is spiritual integrity. Jatayu attacked Ravana, and he fought with all his strength. But what could he do? He did a lot. Unbelievable. He destroyed Ravana's chariot. He destroyed Ravana's charioteer, all the asses. He tore off Ravana's crown, tore off his chest and shield, broke his bows and arrows, dragged Ravana down, threw him to the ground, got on his back, and with his beak started taking out lumps of flesh and blood from Ravana and throwing it aside. Ravana was in horrible pain. And this old bird, Jatayu, was fighting and fighting and fighting, and Ravana escaped. And at a certain point, Jatayu was so tired he could hardly move. But still, he was eager to fight. And then Ravana, seeing that he was absolutely exhausted from his age, he took his sword and cut off his legs and cut off his wings to just lay there, just bleeding to death. But Sita blessed, Goddess Sita Devi blessed Jatayu that he will attain the highest benediction because he has performed the highest service. While flying over Kishkindha Kshetra, Sita threw the jewels that Anasuya, the wife of Atri Muni, had given to her when they were living in Chitrakoot, and cried down to these monkeys she saw that if you see Ram, give him these jewels, he'll know where I'm going. That was Sugriva, who hid those jewels in a cave. He brought her to Sri Lanka and told her that you are mine. But her love for Ram was pure. It is the purest. There is no question. She frankly told Ravana, if you think you can enjoy me, it's like trying to lick honey off the edge of a razor-sharp sword. If you think that you can enjoy me, it's like taking needles and sticking them in your eyes. She was giving him some good examples. I am the property of Sri Ram. He will come and destroy you. But Ravana put her prisoner in the Ashokvan, the forest of Ashok trees, his favorite place in Sri Lanka. He said, I will give you 1 year. If you do not willingly surrender to me, I will kill you, drink your blood, and eat your flesh. He was allowed to do that. That was not part of the curse upon him. So she remained, chanting the names of Ram 24 hours a day, experiencing the great ecstasy of love and separation, Vipralamba Bhav. Meanwhile, Ram and Lakshman were frantically searching everywhere. They came upon Jatayu. They didn't recognize him. They just saw this big, bloody beast. And they were thinking that the blood was Sita, and this beast ate her and was now laying on it to digest it or something. That's what people do sometimes. So they were, this beast, this blood, it must be Sita's blood. He has devoured her. Let us kill him. Jatayu just gave his life to Ram. And here Ram is thinking he's the worst enemy, about to kill him. Jatayu somehow or other moans out, Ram, Ram, I am Jatayu, the son of the friend of your father, Dasarath, your devotee. When Ram understood that this was Jatayu, his heart melted. What happened? Tell me. He told the whole story. Ramchandra held Jatayu's head in his arms. Jatayu left this world. Ramchandra told him, when you leave today, you will go directly to my eternal abode in Vaikuntha, where we will never be separated. In the arms of Ram, he gave up his body, chanting the holy name. Ramchandra was beside himself in grief. Both he and Lakshman were weeping, crying. Such a great devotee gave up his life in our service. Ramchandra personally performed the last rites for Jatayu and sent him back home, back to Godhead. They continued their search. They came to Kabanda, that big, big demon with one eye in his chest. As they were liberating him, he told them that you should go to Pampa Sarovar. Make allies with Sugriva and his minister Hanuman. They will help you. So at Pampa Sarovar, he met with Hanumanji, who brought him to Sugriva. And there was an alliance. The Chaturmasya had begun. So at the conclusion of the rainy season, Sugriva would dispatch all of his armies to find Sita, providing Ram delivers him from Bali, which was done quite, not exactly easily, but it was done. So, in Malyavanta, a mountain at Kishkindha Kshetra, there is a beautiful deity of Ram. He's chanting the name of Sita on Japa Mala, and have his hand is upon his heart, meditating on Sita within his heart in separation. It was Hanumanji who crossed the sea with one jump and found Sita in Ashokavan and assured her that Ram was coming to deliver her. Actually, Hanuman said, I'll take you back right now. Just jump on my back. He said, no, I can't. I cannot touch any other man but my Ram. All right, Ram will come. There is no fear. He was singing the glories and names of Ram. He explained to her the separation of Ram. And after giving that message to Sita, delivering the gift of Ram to Sita, Hanuman wanted to do some extra service. Devotees always want to do something extra. That's bhakti. Could never do enough. Radha Kunja. So he started tearing up. He knew that this was Ravana's favorite place because the night before he just took a small form and he was just examining from the point of view of military strategic planning. He was just examining the entire infrastructure of Sri Lanka for their attack. He saw Ravana's palace. It was a he had a bed made of crystal. And there were all these beautiful heavenly damsels laying asleep on the floor surrounding his bed. Ravana is the son of Vishrava, one of the greatest, most pious Brahmins. He had incredible good qualities too. But somehow or other, that Rakshasa side of his family spoiled everything. Hanuman was thinking, if he was a devotee, he could do unbelievable service. But somehow he's a victim of lust and greed and false ego. So as he was destroying Ashokavan, the news came to Ravana. He sent his generals. First he sent some security men. And Hanuman dispatched them to the abode of death. Then he sent some military men, and they were dispatched. Then he sent one of his brothers, a powerful military general. And he was dispatched to death with a whole army just by Hanuman, who was just on a tree with a stick, with a bar, just beating them. From the front he was beating them with a stick, and from the back he was beating them with his tail. They were defenseless. They were screaming in pain. He was massacring them. Finally, Ravana sent Indrajit, his most powerful son, the greatest of his generals. And Indrajit, with a mystical snake rope, he tied up Hanuman. Well, actually, Hanuman, he could have easily defeated Indrajit. Maybe not easily, but he could have done it. But he was thinking in his heart, I want to see Ravana's palace. I want to tell him my message face to face. Hare Krishna. So he allowed himself to be captured. He was brought before Ravana, tied up. And Ravana chastised him, why you have done like this? And Hanumanji said, I am the servant of Ram. Give back Sita now or die. It was a nice discussion. But Ravana was so insulted. Hanuman was insulting Ravana. He said, you're just a lusty animal taking someone else's wife. You're not a kshatriya. You're a coward, Ravana. You're just a nonsense little stupid coward. You can't... No power, nothing. If you had any integrity, if you had any kshatriya right, you would have fought with Ram to get his wife, not steal her, hiding in disguise. Ram is coming to kill you. Give her back or die. Oh, was Ravana angry. Egoistic people like that cannot tolerate somebody saying these words. He was immediately going to kill him. But Vibhishan told him, no, it's against the codes. Even Rakshasa follows codes. He's a messenger. You cannot kill a messenger. You could punish, but you cannot kill. Ah, tail of monkey. Monkey is very proud of tail. Burn his tail. They wrapped his tail with different types of cotton. And then dipped it in flammable oils and lit it on fire. Hanuman was so happy. He was so happy. This was nectar for him. Special service. That his tail was blazing. And he just expanded himself and broke the ropes. And told Ravana, see what I will do. He jumped to the top of a building and touched it with his tail. Next building. Next building. The whole city was on fire. Meanwhile, Sita, she got the news that this was happening. She prayed to Agnidev. Sita prayed to Agnidev that my devotee Hanuman give me this benediction, that as his tail is burning, he will feel very refreshing, cooling sensation. That is the love of Mother Sita for her devotee. And Hanuman, as the whole city of Lanka is burning in fire, and his tail is the inflammatory ingredient, he's feeling very cool, soothing sensation. So he contemplated, what's happening? Then he understood, because Hanuman had all-powerful intelligence. He understood, Sita has offered a prayer to Agnidev. And he offered his obeisances to Sita Devi's mercy and burned the city of Lanka. And then with a roaring voice, he said to Ravan, who could hear, because Hanuman could, he did not need these amplification systems. He could speak, anybody could hear. He said, Ravana, I am just the insignificant, menial servant of the servant of Ram. And this is what I have done. Ram himself is coming. And then he jumped in the ocean and put his tail out of fire as the city burned. And he jumped back to Rameshwaram area. And there he met the Angada and the other monkey chiefs and explained, and they were very happy, very happy. They had performed their duty after a long search. They returned to Kishkindha Kshetra, and there, when Hanumanji approached Ram, and Ram understood what Hanuman had done in his service, Ramchandra embraced Hanuman, crying tears of love in gratitude for his devotee. That was the ultimate perfection of Hanuman's life, to be lovingly embraced by Sri Ramchandra. What greater benediction could there be? They built the bridge across the Indian Ocean with floating rocks. It was 100 yojanas wide and 800 yojanas long. It was a big bridge. And hundreds and thousands of monkey soldiers. The only weapons they had were sticks and stones. And Hanuman had clubbed. Nothing. And the great battle of Sri Lanka ensued. It was a terrible war. In Valmiki Ramayana, there are many chapters describing the very exciting, suspenseful, and devotionally saturated tales of this great war. Monkey soldiers, although had no weapons, and Ravana's soldiers had all the highest military weapons, mystical weapons, they were fighting for Ram. It was a battle. And one by one, Ravana was sending his best generals, his sons, his brothers, his uncles, all defeated. There was nothing he could do to succeed in the battle. Ravana was becoming frustrated. As a last resort, let us wake up Kumbhakarna. This was not an easy thing. It's a long story. Because when he slept, this man was really in the mode of ignorance. It's not that just an alarm clock. They had to have chariots of horses running up and down his chest. They had to have massive elephants running up and down his chest. They had huge gongs ringing right at his ears, gong, gong, gong. They had gigantic wooden mallets with nails at the end, and they were beating it against his body, trying to wake him up, all simultaneously happening. Meanwhile, because he likes to eat, that was his, when he's not, besides sleeping, eating is his pastime. So they had gigantic mountains of flesh, all the fleshes he liked the best, and big, big buckets. Bucket of fresh blood, thinking that that might wake him up. He didn't. Finally, he woke up and he ate everything within minutes. Powerful digestive system. Just ate everything. And then after he ate, he was satisfied. They told Ravana wants to see you. So he got up. And from behind the walls, the monkey soldiers, they saw this gigantic personality walking. And they were terrified just seeing him. Who is that? Now by this time, Vibhishan, who was always giving Ravana good advice, all along he was saying, you can't take another man's wife. This is Ram. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just give her back. But Ravana was so angry with Vibhishan. He wanted to kill him. Ultimately, he rejected Vibhishan. And Vibhishan went and joined Ram's forces. So Vibhishan said to Ram, even Ram and Lakshman said, who is that? It's my brother. That is my brother. Kumbhakarna. He told all about him. So Ravana told Kumbhakarna the history. Kill Ram. Kumbhakarna told Ravana, no one can kill Ram. It's not possible. Just return Sita. Just return Sita, that's all. Let's live. Otherwise we're going to all die. Ravana said, kill Ram. So Kumbhakarna said, all right, I will kill Ram. So he went out into the battlefield. And Kumbhakarna was terrifying. He was just eating just handfuls of monkeys, just putting in his, not just right hand, left hand, everything. He was just putting it. And it was blood of the monkeys coming out of, and the other monkeys, that they were fearless, but this was beyond their limits of being fearlessness. I mean, seeing people die, seeing your fellow soldiers dying in the battlefield is one thing, but seeing them being eaten alive, that was too much. They all just ran away. He was trampling like ants. Actually, Sugriva jumped right on him and bit him in the face and jumped away. So ultimately, Ramchandra was the only one who could face Kumbhakarna. And it was a good battle. Ram cut off his arms with arrows. Then he cut off his legs with arrows. But Kumbhakarna was not an easy person to give up. He had no arms, he had no legs, all he had is a trunk, but he had his mouth, his all-devouring mouth. And he just attacked Ram with his mouth like a snake. And Ram filled his mouth with millions of arrows, then cut off his head and sent his head flying right to the front gate of Sri Lanka as a gift for Ravana. Ravana was outraged. General after general were slain. Ultimately, he sent Indrajit. That was a great battle. Indrajit was very, very powerful. And his fight on that battlefield was actually the best fight of the battle. But ultimately, when he was performing a yajna to gain more power, Lakshman killed him. When the news came to Ravana that his dearest, eldest son, the crown prince of the Rakshasa dynasty, had been killed, he couldn't believe it. He could not believe it. Indrajit had benedictions. He couldn't be killed. What to speak of just being a father, not willing to accept this thing. Ultimately, when he finally believed it, he was simultaneously heartbroken and outraged. Then he realized, I personally have to enter the battlefield. Actually, he was such a demon. He was really a demon, Ravana. Classic demon. His first reaction, after he somehow or other adjusted to the reality that Indrajit was dead by Lakshman, is to kill Sita. It's because of her that my brothers, my son, and my whole dynasty is being destroyed. He just marched into the Ashoka Grove, pulled his sword to kill Sita. You are the cause of the destruction of everything because you will not surrender to me. But Mandodari was Ravana, pulling on him, saying, no, she didn't do anything. You kidnapped her. You're a warrior. You're a fighter. Go kill Ram. What has Sita done? Show your prowess against Ram, not this helpless girl. And his ministers told him the same thing. Actually, everyone loved Sita. Ravana ordered, bring my chariot. Today I will enter into the battlefield. It was the first time he entered the battle. When he attacked, he was mad. He had all his weapons, all of his astras. Thousands and thousands and thousands of the soldiers of the monkey army attacked him, and he was just like time personified, just devastating everything in sight. Ultimately, Lakshman stood before Ravana. Ravana threw a javelin, and Lakshman destroyed it. Then Ravana took the most powerful of all of his javelins. It soared through the air. This javelin had benedictions that it must defeat whoever it is aimed toward. It pierced the chest of Lakshman, who fell to the ground unconscious. When Ram saw this, he ran to the site of this great, great tragedy. And he saw his brother. There was a heartbeat, but no other symptoms of consciousness. His heart was broken. He just got up. He was on his he was just standing on the ground. He was angry. He took his arrows and just tortured Ravana. This arrow was
piercing Ravana everywhere. Ravana couldn't tolerate the pain, and he retreated from the battlefield. Meanwhile, Ram put all of his full energy in trying to nurse Lakshman to health. He didn't know how. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was appearing out of his lila like a human being. Not as a human being, but certain qualities to attract the love of his devotees. Jambavan saw Lakshman's condition and said, "There is still a very faint beat in his heart. He can be saved. There is a herb at the Mahodaya Mountain in Himalayas. Hanuman could get that herb." Ramchandra dispatched Hanuman immediately. "Bring the herb." In one jump, Hanuman went from Sri Lanka, the battlefield, all the way to the Himalayas. And there was the Mahodaya Mountain. But he couldn't find the herb. But that was not going to distract Hanumanji. He lifted the entire mountain, and holding it in one hand, with one jump returned to Sri Lanka. The monkey doctor, Shushena, went to collect the herb. As soon as Lakshman smelled it, he was brought back to consciousness. Ravana came out from the city again, fully rejuvenated, determined, and ready for battle. At that time, the charioteer of Indra, Matali, appeared with Indra's own personal golden chariot and said, "My Lord has sent this chariot as a service for you to fight against Ravana." Fully equipped with all weapons, it was a very great fight. There was as much a fight with words as there was with weapons, which is the way Kshatriyas classically fight. Ram, with very sharp arrows, wanted to finish Ravana off. He cut off all his arms. But immediately, 20 arms grew right back. He cut off all 10 heads. Immediately, all the 10 heads grew back. Ravana represents lust. He is lust personified, kama. The demon of lust, anger, pride, greed, anger, and illusion. These demons have made their kingdom in our minds and our senses. They have conquered us. And they're powerful. More powerful than any human. More powerful than our mind or senses can withstand. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer over these demons. The Lord has appeared in His holy names. It is our shelter. It is our protection from all danger. So yes, it is like that. You fight against this monster qualities of lust in our heart, anger, greed, pride. Even if we defeat it, we find again. Prabhupada says, its ugly head appears. Just when we think we're advanced, just when we think we've become transcendental, just when we think that we have become pure devotees, the ugly Ravana-like head of lust appears. Very difficult. So Ram was cutting head after head after head after head. Vibhishan explained to Ram, there is nectar that has been stolen. By boon, Ravana has received nectar in his heart. As long as that is there, nothing can defeat him. The only way is you must pierce his heart. And that is a fact. The Jnana Yogis, the Astanga Yogis, they are trying to somehow or other conquer these enemies of lust, anger, pride, greed, anger, and illusion. But we see the greatest of yogis, Vishwamitra Muni, he did tapasya that are beyond anybody's comprehension or abilities. But even after thousands of years of his tapasya, the ugly head of lust again appeared. And he fell down. It is only through bhakti. When Vishwamitra Muni took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he was able to conquer the enemies within. Krishna consciousness is not simply to fight against the symptoms of the disease. We must do that simultaneous. But we must cure the cause of the disease. We must go to the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is we want to be the enjoyer. We must clean our heart. And how do we clean our heart? The Lord has told us the only way that's practical in this age of Kali. Cheto darpanam marajanam. We can clean our heart by letting Krishna into our heart. Krishna is all pure. Therefore, the greatest weapon in all of creation is God's holy name. Because the Lord is not different than His name. When He enters our hearts, when He purifies our hearts, then all the other problems of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion are vanquished. This is the unlimited glory of the prime benediction for all humanity, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. In this great battle, Ram remembered the words of Agastya Muni. He took out that arrow, the arrow that Agastya Muni had bestowed upon him, the most powerful arrow in all of creation. The arrow itself just reeked, just seeing it, reeked fear in the hearts of his enemies and joy in the hearts of his devotees. It was shining like the sun. Its feathers were presided over by Vayu. Its tip was presided over by
Surya
and Yamaraj. Its weight was presided over by Mount Sumeru. He took that arrow and pulled it back. And then he recited the mantra named Aditya Hridaya, which was given to him by Agastya Muni, which had the infallible power to conquer the enemy. Chanting Aditya Hridaya mantra, he released the arrow of Brahma. As it soared through the air, it illuminated blinding light in all directions. Ravana saw it coming and was utterly helpless before it. Such power. It penetrated through his hard, mountain-like chest. Went right into the core of his heart. Dried up the nectar, pierced his heart. Ravana reeled in pain. All his 10 mouths vomited blood. He trembled. He fell to the ground like a massive mountain, or like one in the higher planets who has been exhausted of all of his pious activities. He fell dead. The light of his body and entered into Ram. When the Rakshasas saw Ravana laying there in a violent death, they were horrified. He was their hero. He was their strength. He was their everything. They were so fearful, so confused, they just started screaming and crying and running away in all directions. And when Ravana lay there in a bloody pool on that battlefield, the monkey soldiers, they were very happy. They were jumping and leaping and screaming in joy and embracing each other. Some of them, they wanted to do some extra service. So they started chasing behind the Rakshasas and just doing whatever they do to Rakshasas. The battle was won. Mandodari, the principal wife of Ravana, came out, weeping and crying, embracing the dead body of her husband. And she started preaching to his spirit soul. She said, "Ravana, I warned you. I warned you time and time again. You have been killed by the curse of a chaste woman." Mandodari explained to the spirit of Ravana that although you're the king of the Rakshasas and you have the boons of Brahma, your powers cannot be compared to that power of a chaste woman. You have defied her. Ramchandra is the supreme personality of Godhead. Why couldn't you have been content with what you had? Why have you done this? Your brother, Vibhishan, your wife, your well-wishers, we warned you. Why? Now we are widows. All your brothers' wives, the entire Rakshasa dynasty of soldiers, all their wives are now widows. We have lost everything. Because of your because of your desire to enjoy. Cried and wept. What was really astonishing is, you know who was really weeping? Vibhishan. He was beside himself in grief. He had nothing in common with Ravana. Vibhishan was a pure devotee from birth, and Ravana was a hateful demon. But still, they were brothers. Vibhishan, due to his compassion, loved Ravana, disagreed with him, always spoke the truth to his face. Ravana wanted to kill him. He was ready to kill Vibhishan. It was his other ministers that told him not to, otherwise he would have killed him. Ultimately, he insulted him. He banished him. But still, Vibhishan loved him. He was crying. And Ram saw this. And Ramchandra wanted to pacify the heart of his devotee. He told him that, "I have given your brother liberation." And then Ramchandra showed a very special, unique integrity. He requested Vibhishan that you should perform the last rites for Ravana so that he may have a respectful funeral service. That was Ram's order. Ram had no malice toward Ravana. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares that I'm equal to everyone. I envy no one. Aham bija pratapita. He's the father of all living beings. He has no enemies. Yegatamam prapadyante. But as you approach him, he will reciprocate accordingly. You want to be his enemy, then he will conquer you. You want to be his devotee, he will embrace you like he did for Hanuman, like he did for Jatayu. He embraced Jatayu at the time of his death. He lovingly wept tears of love on the body of Hanuman. And to Ravana, who he also loved, he pierced his heart with the hardest, most formidable arrow, because that's how Ravana approached him. That is the greatness of God. Who else is such a loving father? He's a son of Vishrava, who's a respectable Brahmin. Give him the dignity, the integrity of a proper last rite. And Vibhishan personally, with his heart and soul, performed the last rites for Ravana. Sita was returned to Ram. For the sake of the world, her chastity was tested, and she revealed to all, for all time, the absolute purity of her devotion to Sri Ramchandra. They returned to Ayodhya, where Sri Ramchandra was coronated as the king. Today represents good over evil. Godliness over godlessness. Morality over immorality. Love over hate and envy. Today represents bhakti, devotion, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the only force that could conquer all the obstacles on the path of Krishna consciousness. Dasara is the day that we celebrate victory. Victory of defeating Maya and all of her powers with the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today is a day of hope. Today is a day to build faith. Today is a day of taking serious vow to take wholehearted shelter of the only shelter in all of creation, the Supreme Lord, who has so mercifully appeared in this age of Kali in His holy names. Lord Sri Ramchandra, appeared in this world to enact pastimes, to give us knowledge and devotion. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri with his devotees, on this day they celebrated. This is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. On the day of Vijayadashami, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees dressed up like monkey soldiers. And they actually engaged in a mock battle to fight against Ravana and conquer him. So it is a very special day for all devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared to give us entrance into the ultimate abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where the sweetest, most inclusive, happy pastimes of Radha and Krishna are eternally enacted. Ram is the expansion of Krishna, as Sita is an expansion of Radharani. Radha and Krishna are the source of all avatars and all devis. And their pastimes in Vrindavan are supreme, all-inclusive, most intimate, and most pure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the benediction, all of us, to enter into that highest abode of love, even in this very life. By the mercy of the Lord, our heart can be transformed into Vrindavan Dham. That is the Lord's gift. But yes, in order to achieve that destination, we have to fight the Ravana within us and without. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, he put aside his Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Chaitanya, who is Ram, put aside his arrow. Who is Parasaram, he put aside his Paras Chopper. Who is Lord Narasimhadev? Didn't bring his nails. Who is Varahadev? Didn't wear his
tusks. That one supreme absolute truth in his original form appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Visakrishnam Sangopangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hishumedasha. He appeared with his associates and he appeared with his supreme weapon that could conquer the Hiranyakashipus and Hiranyakshas, the Ravanas of Kundakarmas, the Shishupals and Dantavakras, exterminate all of these demons within our hearts. And what is that weapon? His own holy name. He has come to give the world his own names, which are non-different from him. Just let him into your heart, and he will do everything. Cry out for his mercy, and let us chant as the first, foremost priority of our life. In this way, if we chant the holy name, guarding against offenses, in the spirit of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, striving for humility like a blade of grass, tolerance like the tree, striving to offer respect to others and not expect it for ourselves, then when we chant the name of Krishna with this approach, Krishna will be so pleased to manifest himself within his name and bring victory to our lives. And then we will understand the essential meaning of Vijayadasami. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The gift of the highest salvation through such a simple and practical method. If we simply embrace within our hearts Prabhupada's mercy with sincerity and accept his gift, there will be victory. What is the greatest victory? To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna in life and beyond. At this time, we will have kirtan. This is the most appropriate celebration for Dasara. Harinam Sankirtan. I'm sorry I spoke so long, but sometimes I do that. Actually, sometimes I don't. Hare Krishna.